tonight, the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis
yes.
is launching a full investigation into the new marijuana laws here in the city of Chicago. And Alderman Brendan Riley is with us. And you're the what are you? You're the president pro tem of the city council, right?
Mayor.
Yep.
That makes you very powerful, does it not, sir? Like an important?
No, every once in a while I get to hit the gavel. That's about it.
All right.
When the mayor goes out of town, do you get to take control?
I'm sure, but I doubt that's going to happen anytime soon.
Do you ever?
That might be rolling the dice on her part.
You're going to lock the door after she leaves. All right, she can't get back in.
I'm in charge.
It's like Joel in Risky Business.
Mm-hmm.
Joel, what happened to the glass egg? All right, let's talk about the... There's a delay now, a delay in marijuana going legal here in Chicago. Yes or no?
No, but that's been proposed as of today. By the Black Caucus on the city council.
And exactly for what reason? Do we know?
Yeah, there's a strong feeling that the state law doesn't provide enough opportunity for minority-owned businesses and minority participation in this new green economy. And I actually think there's truth to that. But holding up the city of Chicago is a couple of things. Holding up the implementation of the recreational marijuana law here would be in direct conflict with state law. We're preempted from stopping these medical marijuana facilities from converting to recreational dispensaries on January 1st.
Because these people paid a lot of dough. I got to go back to this. I always wanted
and a lot of risk.
Yeah. The medical marijuana industry, which came online 3 years ago.
Yeah, about.
They're... In order to get that license, you had to put up $250,000 to apply for the license. If you were rejected from the license for any reason whatsoever, the state kept the $250,000.
That's right.
So, and there were cases. And so the people who did this, these are big businesses that went into this. This is not these were people who, you know, were willing to roll the dice, as you point out.
Yeah.
I don't think you can then say to those, you cannot punish them for doing that.
No.
They should have first shot.
Well, I think the Black Caucus is saying they're amongst those who have that medical marijuana license, 11 of them, that all of them are white, none of them, zero are black. And they're saying that they would then start this new application process for others to enter after this first group, that they'd have this first mover advantage. And if we get in the market later, that, you know, we're going to be at a disadvantage. So let's get that piece of it worked out. Is that fair? Or does this feel like an 11th our maneuver to you?
Well, no, I think that there's a valid criticism here, but I think it's aimed at the wrong folks. Mayor Lightfoot in the city of Chicago can't heal that problem for the Black Caucus. Only the state legislature can do that. The state law is what sets out minority participation and equity goals and all those sorts of things.
And that was included in the plan, wasn't it?
And the state law specifically prohibits the city from layering anything else on top of those things. And so, yes, while I appreciate my colleague's point of view on the issue, I think there's a better way to skin that cat, and that's to go work with our colleagues in Springfield to get it right. Ro, to your point, let's go a step further. All the incumbent medical dispensaries will become recreational January 1st, no matter what the city council does. They can start selling it. And those are those 11 companies that are all owned by wealthy white people,
right?
More or less, right? So they're going to get going already. The irony here is that the folks that are in the pipeline right now to get licenses for recreational dispensaries and cultivation centers are minority-owned businesses. So actually threatening a delay or actually shrinking the market only hurts those new market entrants, and the disproportionate majority of them are minority-owned businesses. So it's backwards, and it's actually working against their own goals.
Because there are rules built into the system to favor getting minority participation.
You get extra points, for having a certain percentage of your workforce minority, a certain number of folks in management or ownership. You get extra credit when you're applying for the state license that you have to spend all this money and risk for.
There's also this implication that somehow all those people got wired in. I knew a bunch of different people who were trying to get in, couldn't get in. It is happenstance. I know in our conspiratorial world in which we live, happenstance doesn't ever answer the question for people. But the 11 existing medical marijuana facilities, you know, were legitimate businesses that were accepted into the program.
Correct.
And there was a big, there was a huge hurdle to do that. And there, I don't know how many minority-owned businesses applied for that. I don't know of any personally, but I don't know if they did or they didn't. And so that's, it's not the fault of the people who did this that all of a sudden, because they're white, they can't, they, you know, they're not allowed to take part in what the law already written is, right? I mean, it's just, we're getting caught in something here that is, you know, shakedown racial politics, Chicago style, which, hey, I get it. I've been a part of it. I kind of enjoy it from time to time. But in this particular case, there's so much on the line here.
Well, and Ro, it begs a question. I mean, it wasn't some secret that Springfield was considering legalizing recreational marijuana. It was front page headlines for months.
Right.
And I can tell you, I had an almost daily dialogue with the state legislators that represent my ward. So where were my colleagues at that point in time? That would have been the time to sort through some of these equity issues. I think the sponsors of the state legislation did a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. Nothing is perfect in politics or in the legislative process, but there's always room to make tweaks down the road. That's where the effort ought to be placed. Not holding up the city, depriving of us much needed revenue, slowing down, ironically, minority-owned businesses. Let's get to the market and get that revenue flowing now.
We get what's happening downtown now. I know there's been a lot of pushback. The mayor
zoning was rules.
Very specific about where she did not want recreational marijuana stores downtown. Mm-hmm. What's changed?
So the mayor, in an effort to compromise, shifted the boundaries of the exclusion zone to make it smaller north of the river. So now the western boundary would be at State Street. It used to be at LaSalle Street.
You can't be on State. You'd have to be on Dearborn.
Correct.
Or further west.
Yeah.
Dearborn,
anywhere west of State.
Okay.
And then in the loop, the western boundary is now the river, so it would allow for a dispensary near Union Station, which I think could be lucrative with all those suburban commuters that can't buy it at home.
That's right. A lot of the suburbs are not into this.
Park Ridge and all these guys that are outlawing it, they're going to be our best customers, I suspect.
Yeah. Just remember, kids, those gummy bears kick in about an hour and 15 minutes later than you think.
So if you're on the way home, bad idea.
Doing some market testing.
I'm just going to tell you that there are going to be some people that Metra is going to find more people asleep in Harvard than they ever possibly imagined.
And lots of candy wrappers.
Yeah, did you miss your stop?
Get up. End of the line.
Yeah.
So and also the other important piece to mention that the mayor compromised on was that this exclusion zone will get a review and possibly be lifted in 2021. So January 2021, 15 months from now, we'll have some experience with the market here and we can reevaluate that exclusion zone and determine whether we keep it or remove it entirely. Of course, I'll be advocating for removing it entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're onto something there about these suburbs that are going to be coming into the city and bringing you know, business with them, you know, spending dollars in the city, because you're just seeing Lincolnshire officials saying that they're going to really consider lean toward banning it there. Naperville has a referendum. I know it's non-binding, but they believe that there might not be the support there for the Naperville.
That is so hypocritical
of
Naperville.
Even though we all know Naperville has had a gummy party or two in its history.
Right. That is the entryway into the swingers party.
That's where you first have your first gummy.
Yeah.
It was the reverse commute.
You drop off your keys, you have a gummy, you look for the white rock in front of the door, and then boom, you're there.
Flamingos also.
Park Ridge outlawed it, I think, and so did Lake Forest. So my point is, with the 500,000 plus commuters that are in downtown every day, there's a lot of customers there. So we should keep that
Bring them down here.
Yes.
Yes.
You'd like to see them in your ward.
Yes. Well, I think that by Union Station is a very good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, let us be honest about this. May we just be adults, that this is here.
Yeah.
It's not going away. No. If we're going to make some money off of it, if we're going to actually take the power out of the hands of people who are doing this nefariously, mm-hmm. who may have other agendas, right, for violence and all the rest of it. That's good to have this, you know, because it's a cash crop. It's an important, it will eventually be a good domestic agricultural product. Currently, I think they're still trying to figure that out, but there's a lot of internal, right? These grow facilities you're talking about, a lot of them are internal, right?
In fact, almost all of them are.
In Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, because of our climate, but it's incredible. I went to one. They're state of the art. I mean, you feel like you're in a manufacturing mm-hmm. facility. It's amazing. But, you know, if you look at other cities that have had more experience on this issue, Denver especially, the taxpayers there are awfully pleased with how that arrangement's worked out. Mm-hmm. It's taken a lot of pressure off of things like the local property tax, the state income tax. They're really reaping the benefit in Colorado. I think we will here, too.
Yeah, eventually. I think initially they say $10 million is all it's going to produce. Is that low?
Super low. Mm-hmm. I respectfully disagree with the mayor's number. I had the industry run numbers for me for different scenarios, and I would say that that number was off by at least half.
Oh.
All right.
That would be nice.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm...
And that's just for year one.
Right. Yeah. Right. Growing from there.
Right. And you have to get the thing up and going.
That's
and
right.
It's... And I, all right. Well, good. I was very concerned that they were pushing me back to July, and I don't want to get pushed back to July.
Just a few more months, Ray.
Right.
How many trips to L.A. do you have to take?
I know. Exactly.
Gee.
I mean, this is... And you, I know,
it's
and
very
I
inconvenient.
I don't want to bring it back on a plane. I feel very uncomfortable. I know I'll end up in, like, you know, Guantanamo if
yeah,
I do that,
would.
And I don't
you
need
would.
That. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, meet Rokhan. Rokhan Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. All right. Let's talk about the impending strike here. Do you think... Are you hearing anything that we're getting a little closer?
There's no. In fact, bet all your money on a strike. There's going to be a strike.
We already have one day off tomorrow.
That's right. The city's already announced we're not going to be in classes tomorrow, but I think 95% surety that there's going to be a strike, which is unfortunate for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the students are kids. The teachers are going to lose out on pay.
Right.
It really touches everybody. The parents who have
security
to,
guards, bus
everyone.
Bus drivers, all the aides, everybody.
You got crossing guards,
athletics.
Everybody. Yeah, it's a real shame. I think that I can appreciate the teachers' union wanting to push forward their social agenda and talk about important things like affordable housing and homelessness, but those aren't central to the contract. Those are two separate things. And by trying to bake in the social issues that do need to be addressed,
don't say bake,
into their collective bargaining agreement, that's where you're getting into a gray area. So I think
I agree completely with
focus
that.
On the offer for the teachers, which I think is a generous one. And then let's work together on addressing those other issues.
Well, I think the middle issue here, though, is the separate SEIU piece where their other employees, you know, non-CTU employees would be coming in, whether they're counselors of some sort or
right.
they're, you know, additional staff inside the building.
Sure.
Those things. And that does, you know, you see this happen where you have unions linking together and trying to mm-hmm. create, you know, try to just create more jobs along the way here. But city's broke, the CPS system is pretty underwater. This is a difficult time to be making that ask. Do we know? I know there were these other unions at the Park District and other places that were going to go out as well. They're not. Are they going out tomorrow? This is not technically a strike officially yet,
as
right?
I understand it, they've reached a tentative agreement with the Park District workers.
Oh,
yes.
I believe
first
that
to get them off that.
So I think that may be handled.
Because you can't have that for a Bears game on Sunday. No, seriously.
Well, and I mean, also think about it. Park District facilities also become a pretty important fallback.
No question.
Right, for
strike,
sure.
Right?
Not absolutely. All of them will be open, but there is a list, not only on our website, but also you can get it through your school and that kind of thing. Because you have to plug in your school when you go to the CPS website, and it'll tell you some of the options for you in your neighborhood.
Right.
Okay.
So the hope is that this is a very short strike and they can work this out. But, you know, I think everyone's rooting for our public school teachers, for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. they're helping us raise our children. And one argues they aren't paid well enough. But for other things, like social
but this
workers,
addresses some of that.
School nurses and social... I think the contract with the salary increases... Definitely and fairly addresses
it's
that
issue. It's a 16% increase for teachers. Average pay would go from 73 to 97 over the course of the contract, five-year contract, most of that front-loaded. So a second-year teacher would be making $72,000 from $53,000 in
I
this.
I think that's a very generous offer. I think, aspirationally, we do need to have more social workers and nurses in
sure.
our schools. The current levels are unacceptable, and I think the mayor's acknowledged that. But that's a budget appropriations item. That's not something you can bake into this existing contract, in my view. So hopefully we can handle that on a dual track where it belongs and do better by our CPS kids with counselors and with nurses.
Alderman, can you stand by one second?
Sure.
I got one last question about Lakeshore Drive for you because I heard that we're going to change a name, and I have a thought on that. And if you are going to change a name, I have a name suggestion. But stay right here. Don't move, Alderman. I think you're – now. Right now, you can see the Alderman – wait, that's a car, Alderman. Alderman, come on. Lauren, what's happening on the roadways? News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in just a few moments. But first, Alderman Brendan Riley is here. Mm-hmm. And there was some talk that we were going to change the name of Lakeshore Drive. Now, I'd like to meet the people who think that this is a good idea, all five people who think this is a good idea. This, first, as I pointed out earlier on TV today, this is a there's a lake here, there's a shore, and there's a drive. This is the easiest street to remember in Chicago.
Right. Right, and actually that magazine would have to change their name, too. Don't we have a Lakeshore Drive?
That would be terrible.
Yeah, that would not
What would happen to the song? Yeah?
Yeah,
exactly.
Jean-Baptiste Bontesable Drive. It doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work. Listen, the story of Jean-Baptiste Bontesable is a great one. It's a great origin story for Chicago. But this was France back then, I would like to point out. This was not the United States of America back then.
Yes, he was our Haitian. Our first settler was a Haitian.
Yes, exactly. And a fur trapper, and that's going to make some people a little nuts.
Yeah, people won't like that either.
So is this alive and well, this idea?
Look, I think it's an admirable idea. The man certainly deserves to be honored. I think we've done some of that already downtown. Michigan Avenue Bridge is actually DuSable Bridge.
See?
We have a beautiful bust of Jean-Baptiste Pont DuSable just on the northern end of the bridge, not far from the old WGN radio booth.
Like there on Michigan Avenue?
Exactly. Oh, I thought that was Jack Brickhouse. Okay.
different statue. I think it's a wonderful idea, but it would cost an incredible amount of money in the logistics. Logistics involved are incredibly complex. 911 systems need to be updated. The postal deal, that's a real mess. It would be very expensive. Changing all the street signs, that ain't cheap. You may recall, we changed the name of Congress to Ida B. Wells.
Right. Yep.
And even on that, which was only a few blocks, there was concern about the fiscal impact.
Still doesn't come up in the GPS either.
Well, it should.
That didn't in mine like 2 weeks ago.
Comes up on my Google Maps.
All right. I gotta upgrade the software.
But I don't blame my colleague for bringing it up, but I don't see that being feasible.
Okay. Although it does get confused because there's a Wells and the Wells. It's got to be Ida B. Wells and Wells.
That's right.
Because it's got to be separate. They're not related. That was not. Anyway, too much. Stop it. Stop it, you people. Let's get the teacher strike over and let's get that marijuana rolling.
Sure.
Thank you, Alderman.
Bad
news coming your way in 2 minutes.